Kyrie Irving doesn't want to be LeBron James' little brother. He doesn't want to be LeBron James' sidekick. And he doesn't want to play for an organization in the Cleveland Cavaliers who would evolve everything around a guy that's going to, in all likelihood, leave after next season while he's stuck there for the remaining 2 years of his contract after next season. His attitude is, if LeBron James is going to leave, everything's going to change, and I don't want to be stuck in a situation that I don't want to be in because I couldn't see the forest from the trees. And, oh, by the way, LeBron James, the best player in the world, talking about departing elsewhere. What am I, chopped liver? I can play a little bit, too. I'm a closer. I'm an assassin, and I'm his teammate. So if he's thinking about leaving after next year, what does that say about what he thinks about me?
All right, so now let's...
I fucking dread opening up gifts these days. Whenever it's Christmas, birthdays, these packages have so many fucking rubber bands and things tied up to them. You'd think that it was a fucking iPhone you were stealing. Goodness, it's fucking insane. I'm there opening the gift. It takes me fucking 20 minutes to do it. Next thing you know, I'm only halfway through. It never fails, man. It's worse than putting furniture together, these toys. I had to get that little rant in before I started, because one of these things that I've been watching over the last 12 hours or so have been the Cleveland Cavaliers in the NBA offseason. It's been interesting, to say the least, especially when Kyrie Irving has requested a trade from the Cleveland Cavaliers. And for anyone who doesn't follow any basketball, LeBron James is the best player in the NBA. He's probably like the Michael Jordan of our time. And he's playing with a really good player, really young point guard, and he is, I would say, the second best point guard in the league. Scoring, he does a lot of score. He puts the ball in the basket. But anyway, this guy, his second fiddle, LeBron's second fiddle, is saying, I don't want to play with you anymore. I'm done, bro. I kind of want to be my own man. Even though Kyrie forgot that he was the man for 3 years before LeBron came back, and they got a couple of lottery picks on top of that. So I guess he's feeling he's graduated, just like LeBron did in Miami. He's ready to move on. But ultimately, that's a very interesting dynamic, because this is the first time I've seen anybody that's played under LeBron James with this type of star power say, you're too much for me. I can't handle this ego. And I don't blame him. You know, part of me doesn't understand why you would want to leave a player with maybe 2 years left in him, and he would be willing to facilitate the transition to you being the man. You know, Kyrie is 25 years old. He's got, I want to say he's got 3 years left in his contract, and they owe him $60 million. So the guy is in his prime. I mean, just starting to go into his prime, and he's been to 3 finals already with LeBron. And to just say, you know what, I had enough of this. And I think this is probably one of the residuals of LeBron being as controlling as he is, because the way I look at it, Kyrie is just saying, you know, I don't know, because I can't just hitch my wagon here in Cleveland, because next thing you know, LeBron can be bolting for the Lakers, can be bolting back to Miami, you know, just with the big gossip that's always permeating out in the internet world. And to think that none of it is accurate would be being ignorant. So I think Kyrie understands that I need to do what's best for me. And it's no different than what Kobe did, than what many alpha players do. And again, this is for tidbits for knowledge, but you know, Kyrie Irving was number one overall pick out of Duke University. So he is used to being the man. And he was the man in Cleveland before LeBron came back. And then he had to step aside. Then he had to deal with LeBron's ranting, because one thing about LeBron, I will say this, he definitely rides. I think he overtalks a bit more than Jordan did to his teammates. He's overcoaching, it seems like. And you could tell there were moments with Kyrie that he wasn't having any of it. If you watch any YouTube videos, I'm sure they'll have them now, where Kyrie's just sitting there like, dude, bro, don't fucking... just shut your fucking mouth. Don't talk to me. See LeBron. Bah, 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 bah. Do this, do that. Kyrie is like just Charlie Brown teacher style. Womp, 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 womp. You know, I don't understand why you wouldn't want to ride it out, because I think the pros outweigh the cons in that situation. And you don't have any leverage. You know, the only thing, maybe it was the Paul George situation. another player that played for another team, he's a pretty good player, just went out public and demanded a trade, and the team honored it. They didn't have to do it, but they did it just to get something in return. And I think that Kyrie stating his displeasure of playing with LeBron and wanting to be his own person is something that is going to force the team's hand. And it goes back to that dynamic now where these players have a lot of power. And I think the power of LeBron has over a franchise, even disconnected with some of his teammates. This is something I've never seen before, where a player just says, I don't know your future, so therefore I'm not going to hitch my wagon on what you do. Because everyone's talking about already, after next season, you're going to bolt out of town again. And they don't want any of it. Kyrie doesn't want any of it either. So I wouldn't understand, you know, but hey, you know, he has every right to ask for that. So now it becomes interesting because he doesn't have any, as great of a player that he is, now in the NBA, you have to match player for player salary. So in his case in point, you have to, if he's making $20 million, the team that wants to get him has to give up players that are the equivalent of the player that they're getting. So if Kyrie's making $20 million, and they, team B has to give X amount of players or a player that makes the same amount of money. So, I mean, what are some of the destinations out there that are viable? I think New York is the one that hits on top of the list because they have Carmelo. He's hinted, Carmelo Anthony, he's hinted he doesn't want to be part of any reconstruction going on in New York City. He's tired of that zoo, and he's ready to go. He wants to go to a contender and try to get deep into the playoffs. He himself hasn't gone very far, so I don't blame him. But does he want to go to Cleveland with only LeBron and Kevin Love? I don't think so. I think that one thing that Golden State has taught us, that you get four plus special players on a team, then you can make a deep run. So LeBron is great, but Boston loaded up. And Wizards went ahead and re-signed John Wall. They got Bradley Beal and Otto Potter. So it's going to be a very interesting thing to see. And I think it's the start of the beginning of the end with my man, you know, the greatest of all time. It's going to be something that he is seeing the end here of his reign in the NBA. So I'm very interested to see what the team does and what they end up getting into, or what they get value for Kyrie, because I don't think this is going to continue through September. NBA players have to report, I believe, end of September to practice and get started for training camp. And I mean, this will be very awkward because LeBron is such a passive aggressive guy and such a megalomaniac that I don't see him reaching out to Kyrie right now and talking to him and trying to smooth things out. I don't see that. You know, LeBron is more of hands off. Okay, you know, Cavs management, this is what you make your big bucks for. You deal with this. And I think that's what's going to happen there. They're going to have to push him. So ideal situation that I would think Kyrie would fit in best, San Antonio. I think with the slow aging Tony Parker, he just had a bad knee injury. It was a tear. It wasn't a ligament tear, but it was something severe. That'll be a great 1-2 tandem there. And he got Kawhi Leonard in his prime. So I think, and obviously Popovich, anytime you're playing for Popovich, he's going to make sure that your team is equipped to play for a championship year in and year out. They were beating the Golden State Warriors by 20 plus at Golden State before Kawhi Leonard went down in the playoffs, and the rest was history. So I would say that's the best option for Kyrie Irving. And then second option, I think it would be Minnesota. Minnesota would be something where they have a lot of young weapons there, and adding him to the mix with Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns and now Jimmy Butler and then Kyrie Irving, that's a really legit team there. But the problem with Kyrie Irving is that there's two things. Number one, he's not a passing point guard. And in that position, you need some bit of a balance. Kyrie's not that guy that he's going to be dropping 10 assists a game. You know, Kyrie Irving wants to score. He's Iverson. He has the mentality of a scoring guard in a point guard's body. And he has the greatest handles that we've ever seen. You know, I know that's kind of in the moment talk, but there's even the legends say that themselves, that the way he dribbles the ball, it's like watching Harlem Globetrotters and watching some of the Urban Street pickup games and one. He puts people on skates. That's the best analogy I could place. When you're trying to guard that guy, he just has you falling on the ground. But he's an unbelievable scorer. I want to say he averaged 25, 40% from the three-point range. So he's a really good shooter as well. But the problem is he doesn't pass the ball. He doesn't have defense. He doesn't play any defense at all. So to go into a team like Minnesota with Tom Thibodeau demands that. I don't see that playing out well. New York, even though also New York would be a great viable option for him because not necessarily because they're going to win, but part of the reason he wants to leave the Cavs, he wants to be the man. And he would definitely be the man in New York. You know, Kristaps is still growing. It's a developing player, and it's a great complementary player to him. You know, although I do think he fits best with LeBron, or LeBron fits best with him, because LeBron is the type of player that wants to facilitate. He has his streaks where he just wants to pass the ball and let other people take over, and then he makes an impact in the game by playing defense, by rebounding. And then there's, you know, he can't play with a passing point guard per se, unless he's trying to do the scoring. But he prefers to play with a scoring point guard because, in essence, he's the ball handler of the team. He's the main facilitator. I want to say he led the team in all the stats. So that's the power of LeBron. But it'll be very interesting to see how this dynamic plays out, because this is the first time, like I mentioned earlier, that we haven't seen anybody go against LeBron and say, you know, I don't want to play with you. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Cleveland brass does about this situation. This is a very unique thing, but it makes sense, though. It makes sense in the aspect of him wanting to just do his own thing. And just tired of the LeBron control, because he just feels at the end that, hey, you know, I'm my own man as well. I don't need to have LeBron doing his passive aggressive stuff and, you know, doing all this behind the scenes where he's controlling everything the Cleveland Cavs does, and he's part of that decision-making process. And he's just saying, you know, no, I'm going to be the alpha. I'm going to be the main player, and people answer to me. And I think that it was very evident throughout sometimes in Cleveland that him and LeBron, you know, they're not the best of friends for sure. So I am definitely looking forward to seeing how this all plays out, because this is very impactful to LeBron James' title run. I mean, he's already had, what, 8 straight finals? I want to say 7. Gosh, he had 4 in Miami. Then he had 3 in Cleveland. So that's 7. 7 in a row. And, you know, I don't know how that's going to play out, but I think another team that I was thinking about outside of the Spurs, the Knicks, I don't think the Heat, it will make a difference there. Although he would be the main guy there, without a doubt, but then I don't think the Heat have the pieces like the Spurs can give, or the Knicks can give, or the Timberwolves as well. I think the one that I've read about that was very interesting was the Phoenix Suns, because they have a player there, Eric Bledsoe, that's represented by LeBron's agent. And if anybody knows LeBron, he keeps a close circle around him, which is Rich Paul, his agent. And Eric Bledsoe is represented by him as well. And then on top of that, James Jones, which was a former teammate of LeBron in Miami and in Cleveland, he took over a front office position with the Phoenix Suns. So now he is in a position to negotiate directly and have LeBron orchestrate things on Cleveland's side, because Cleveland got rid of David Griffin, which is their GM that put all these pieces together. And now they have a guy that's 34 years old, former assistant coach at Columbia, that was an assistant GM. And these people are puppets for LeBron, because they're under his mercy as far as what he wants. So, yeah, I think James Jones probably can pull that off. And then Kyrie, you know, they will have the assets there as well. They have a lot of young talent there. And I could see Kyrie wanting to go there. But again, are you going to win? No. You're not going to, especially out in the West. You got to, you know, Houston just did some great things. But they still have ways to go. And it's one of those things, man, that conference out there, it's tough as nails. And good luck to all those guys that are out there competing against Golden State, because at the end, it doesn't matter. They're the beast of the West. They're definitely not going to be stopped by any means unless injuries come about. That's the only thing I could see, because, man, that squad is unbelievable, and they're still in the 20s. So I mentioned that before, but this is, again, it's just this Kyrie Irving, really, it's something I've never seen before. You know, that's like Pippen not wanting to play with Jordan during their prime years, you know? Like, and then Pippen saying, I want to go play for another team. I don't care if I'm going to win or not. Knowing that all the pieces are in place for another championship run. You going to beat the Warriors? Probably not. And, you know, he knows that. They need more help. But the team that they have as is, it's a really good team. Nothing to be ashamed of. And for him to say that and walk out, again, it's just something I've never seen before. As far as from the best player. Because even with Shaq and Kobe, Kobe wasn't the best player at that time in the league. I want to say Iverson was. I want to say there were some other players I forgot. You know, but Kobe wasn't the best player in the league at that time when he had the feud with Shaq. So, I don't know. It's just a very interesting dynamic there that these guys, man, it just goes to show you how rampant the ego is in professional sports. And people say winning fixes everything, and it's very evident that it does not. Ego drives the bus at the end of the day.
Good for you, Kyrie. Good for you. You deserve to play in a city where you could get a decent bowl of sushi on a Tuesday night. I'm fucking proud of you. Good fucking move. And LeBron, you fucked up. You won the championship and you said, Cleveland, this is for you. But you should have been saying, Kyrie, this is for you. He fucking carried you last season, you fuck you. And now you got nothing, LeBron. You're going to be scratching your bald fucking head next season, trying to figure out how you wound up with Ty Lue as a coach and Jose Calderon as your backup point guard. You fuck. Boom, 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 boom. Hit the rolling star with the rolling on. Fuck you. You got no point guard. You got no GM. You don't have a fucking shirt. And that's what the fuck you get for creating the friends and family watered down AAUification of the NBA. Good.